Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rates and Lanes with your hosts, Rico Muhammad and Chuck Snow.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Rates and Lanes podcast. I'm your host, Rico Muhammad. I'll be joined very shortly by my co-host, Mr. Chuck Snow. And we got some special guests on board with us tonight. Kind of have been an eventful evening. I had a little bit of a weekend getaway and tried to put my truck into shop over at Ryder. This is my first experience with the Ryder maintenance program. And we'll just say we got some work to do. So we're not going to throw them under the bus completely tonight, but tomorrow morning we're going to have a come to Jesus meeting with the folks over at Ryder and find out what happened and what was supposed to have happened and what actually took place. But we'll save that topic for another day for another show. Starting out tonight, though, diesel fuel prices have climbed just a little bit by 0.4 percentage points over the previous week. So we're showing a national average of diesel fuel at $2.38 per gallon. And with holiday retail freight in place and consumer packaged goods now sitting in warehouses for online shoppers, truckload demand on the spot market has started to decline a little bit. That pushes the load-to-truck ratios lower, but localized capacity constraints continue to keep pressure on pricing. So let's take a look at how the pricing was performing over all of the different segment types. And then we'll get my co-host Chuck up and on board with us, and we'll get into what we're going to discuss for tonight's show. Starting out with dry vans, we're starting out in the northeastern corridor. We're showing an average spot market rate for dry vans at $2.04. Moving down to the mid-Atlantic and southeastern states, we're showing an average spot market rate coming in at $2.25. Moving up into the Midwest, we're showing an average outbound spot market rate at $2.66. Dropping down to the South Central region, we're showing an outbound spot market rate of $2.22. And coming out of the West Coast, we're showing an outbound spot market rate for dry vans at $2.56. Jumping over and moving into the national flatbed rates, beginning up in the northeastern portion of the United States, we're showing an outbound spot market rate for flatbeds at $2.19. Coming out of the mid-Atlantic and southeastern states, we're showing an average flatbed outbound rate at $2.58. Moving up into the Midwest, we're showing an average outbound spot market rate at $2.74. Coming out of the South Central region, we're showing an outbound spot market rate at $2.31. And coming out of the West Coast, we're showing an outbound rate at $2.15. Jumping over into the temperature controlled or reefer portion of the report, we're showing outbound spot market rate at $2.25. Moving down into the southeastern and mid-Atlantic states, we're showing outbound rates at $2.22. Jumping up into the Midwest, we're showing outbound spot market rates for reefers at $3.04. Moving down to the South Central region, we're showing outbound spot market rates at $2.44. And wrapping up, coming out of the West Coast, we're showing outbound spot market rate at $2.79. And with that being said, let's welcome in my co-host, Chuck Snow. Chuck, good evening. How are you?
Well, we're doing well, Rico. Welcome back from the Big Easy. I hope you had a great weekend down there.
Man, we had a ball. I tell you, you just can't beat the food in that part of the country. We made sure we took all the proper precautions and social distancing and masking up and all of that stuff. But we kind of had perfect timing because they was kind of just opening things back up down that way. But man, we had a ball. Right. Thanks for the recommendation, by the way, as well. We definitely enjoyed the brunch over at Brennan.
Oh, good. Glad to hear it. Yeah, great spot. Well, I want to welcome our guests tonight. This is a real honor. We have Scott Sears, Jeremy Schlackett, and Mike Schobe. They've joined us. They're with the Traffic Chicago office. These guys really do it well. And I want to talk about strengthening relationships between carriers and brokers. You know, there's been a in the last 6-8 months, there's been a lot of stuff out there, anti-broker sentiment, and I think some of it is just silliness. Truth of the matter is that brokers are here to stay. I think that smart carriers know they have to utilize the services of brokers. People are starting to realize that a good brokerage is a great sales force and a lot more cost effective than sometimes having their own salespeople. And in order to build those great relationships, I don't think that we could ask for three better versed people in today's market than Jeremy, Scott, and Mike. So with no further ado, welcome, guys. Thank you so much for joining Rico and I tonight. We look forward to talking about how to make things better and build stronger relationships.
Well, first things first, we have Jeremy. We found Jeremy. What we need to do is we need to get Michael and Scott press number one so that I can locate you in the queue. Okay, so I'm going to put Jeremy up. I'm going to line, and I'll be right back. Okay, Chuck, so I got Jeremy up and on board with us, and I got Scott. I'm still looking for Michael. So Michael is.
Are you going out for another recon mission, or are we going to just wait till Michael presses the one and joins us?
No. Let's rock and roll. Let's rock and roll. We got Scott and Jeremy, so I'm not sure if Michael is on the line pressing the number one, Michael. All right, so we're just going to rock
and roll. He's dialing in right now.
Okay,
no problem. No problem.
Easy recon this time.
Yeah. We'll get him as soon as he presses the number one. So, but with that said, we got Jeremy and we got Scott here with us, and the whole point of tonight's show, Chuck, you said we were talking about strengthening the carrier broker relationships.
It's so important, and
so
we don't want to see carriers miss
out
on.
Who wants to kind of set the table for this one?
I'll kick it off.
Sure.
This is Jeremy Schlock.
Go ahead.
So, you know, Chicago, our office has seen some tremendous growth with the leadership of Chuck, Dwayne, Mark, Doc, the rest of the ownership team, and Mary, And something that we've seen, in particularly with the way that the market has gone over the past couple quarters, is rates obviously have not really been stable. So what we've done, you know, Rico, we've talked. This is probably my fourth or fifth time being on the show, and we always talk about partnerships. And I think one of the things that makes Traffix unique is we understand what our carriers are looking for, and I'll give you a quick example. This past week, a carrier that I've known for a very long time, we set up a call, and he called us up, and he said, listen, I don't want to go to multiple brokers. I'm having problems with getting paid. I'm having, you know, when there's an issue, that the rep's no longer, you know, it's very hard to get a hold of someone. I enjoy working with Traffix. How can I get more business with Traffix? I'll let you have my trucks. Here's my revenue target I want. Here's how many turns I need a week. Here are the places I will and won't go. And we sell around that. And we look internally. And when a carrier comes to us with that type of capacity and that type of relationship, it allows us to be more strategic in our partnership. And now this carrier is doing, you know, a lot of dedicated freight. And for us, we trust them. You know, we don't have to call them every 18 minutes to see if they got loaded. We don't have to, you know, if they broke down, we don't have to look for receipts. I mean, there's a lot of games being played because of the way the market is. So we're really putting a lot of, I don't want to say pressure, but we're maximizing our relationships as much as we can to ensure that we are providing a good service for our customers. And, you know, this is twofold. It's one side of it is we have to continue making sure that our carriers are extremely happy. And we also make sure that our customers are very happy.
Well said.
Absolutely.
You know, Jeremy, it brings up a great point. With any brokerage house, if they don't have good carriers to work with, they're really selling from empty shelves.
Go ahead, Rico.
Well, I think that one of the things that we picked up from last week when we were talking with Mr. Rutherford, and he talked about a lot of people don't want to a lot of people just try to really go for the low-hanging fruit and really don't look to try to build a business. And even though, of course, we always want to try to teach people how to go and be able to cultivate direct customers. However, the utilization, the proper utilization of the broker carrier arrangement, if done properly, can really be an asset to your business, to where you put yourself in a position to utilize, just like what Jeremy was just saying, turn you guys into outsourcing the sales portion of being able to put yourself in a position, especially if, just like Jeremy described and as Mr. Rutherford talked about last week, you give them your price point. You tell them where your rates are, where they know where you want to go, and if you follow those protocols properly, you really can put yourself in a tremendous position so that it's not just a transactional situation when you're dealing with that broker. That's truly building that relationship, and that's really cultivating that broker customer relationship. Because at the end of the day, one thing that I picked up, especially dealing with Kevin Rutherford, was your customer is the person that cuts the check. So if the broker is the person that's cutting the check, then that's your customer. You got to service that broker like hell, because that at the end of the day, if that's who's cutting the check, that's really your customer.
100%.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that we talk about a lot is traffic's his core business. Besides, you know, Chuck Snow is a very unique individual, and you obviously have known him for a very long time. He's a man that can run a brokerage and run an asset-based company. You know, most people are really only focused on one service line or one product. And a lot of trucking companies, you know, I don't know what it costs, Rico, for you to haul a load from point A to point B. I don't know. You know, I have an idea of what it costs for fuel, and I have an idea of what it costs insurance and depreciation of your vehicle. But at the end of the day, I don't know what your true costs are. What I do know is I know I have the ability to go out, find customers, and then find partners that can service that on the back end. So why should, you know, mid-sized to lower carriers, you know, owner-operators, go and be their own salespeople? Why are they extending themselves when there's this service, you know, I hate saying broker, but there's brokerages out there that are there to provide the value add to all parties. And that's what Traffix does very well, is we value our carrier partnerships as much as our customer partnerships, which really makes us unique in this marketplace. We're not looking, you know, to short pay accessorials. We're not looking to short pay detention. We understand that by working with Traffix, you're going to get a best-in-class experience.
You know, Jeremy, I have to tell you something. One of the toughest things that I have ever done in my entire life is try to sell as a carrier, just wear a carrier hat. And the reason for that is if you call a place and you're looking for freight for your fleet going into Memphis, Tennessee, let's say, and you're pretty sure that this company has Memphis freight, and you're really focused on Memphis because you want to send your fleet to Memphis because that's where you run. And you finally get your meeting with the logistics manager, and he said, well, yeah, I have a little bit of Memphis freight. I have one load a month, but I have 8 a week going to Miami or 9 a week going into the Pacific Northwest. So it's really hard as a carrier, unless you're really big, unless you're Hunt or Schneider or Swift, to be able to be everything to everybody. And that's what makes it so difficult with direct sales, because it's a moving target. And somebody may very well have shipped a lot of freight last year from Chicago to Minneapolis, but his customer changed and he no longer ships to Minneapolis. Now he ships to Phoenix. So things change all the time. And that's what makes it so difficult for a with carrier sales. And that's why it's great dealing with a broker. Even our, to this day, our own fleet uses outside brokers sometimes to get loads. I'm not ashamed to admit it. We have relationships with brokers that we work back and
forth.
They
must pay you better, Chuck. That's why I don't get the capacity. They get paid better elsewhere.
You know what? There are times that outside brokers pay me more. Usually our own guys look after us. But, yeah, there are times where we have a relationship with a broker, and he knows that we're in, you know, we're in North Carolina every Thursday, and he gives us a load, and he gives us a couple hundred extra dollars. So he gets the truck. It's business.
So, you know, Rico and Chuck, one guy that's never been on the show, but he's listened quite a few times, it's on. He just had a baby, so if we hear a crying baby in the background, it's not Mike, it's his son. But Mike Schaub is my director of carrier sales. And, you know, Mike has done an amazing job for not just our office, but for all the traffics, and really worked on strategic relationships. And I wanted Mike to chime in. He's IMing me saying that he's got to go feed the baby, so I wanted to give him a minute to speak. Mr. Schaub, the mic is yours. Mike, you got to unmute yourself, buddy. Podcasting 101 right there.
Okay, I'm on recon, I'm trying to find Mike. I haven't found him just yet. So, Mike, if you're listening in, press the number one.
He may have gone to feed that little baby.
Now he's on.
Well, here, Rico, while you're doing some recon, so Jeremy's kind of stole my line that I'd like to say, and you know, one of the things that you guys both have said that, you know, when we opened the U.S. operations for traffic, our focus was to become a broker of choice, and that's a buzzword and terminology that is constantly thrown out there. But
all right.
Ease of doing business.
Let's welcome Mike to the show. Mike is with us now.
Rico,
Mike,
Chuck,
welcome
Scott,
to the show.
Thank you for having me on this. Yeah, thank you. So,
were you lost out there, buddy?
Yeah, dealing with the crying baby. Reached 2 months, so he got shots, and I was trying to call in.
I know what it's
like. So there are some things here that I wanted to discuss that Jeremy brought up as well as Rico. The important thing that Traffics does is Jeremy talks about building relationships. You know, it's not just building a relationship and knowing what the carrier wants, why they want it, how many trucks they're using, how many trailers they have, et cetera, et cetera. I think the best thing that we do as a company is we respect our partners. It's respect. You know, if I go and ask Rico what you want from A to B, you know, you might say 1,200, another guy might say 1,000 or 800. That doesn't mean you're wrong, Rico, but I have to understand and respect your price points, and then I have to follow up with asking why, right? So everything's different. Jeremy brought up that the prices have been carrier-friendly. Now, there are things that we do at Traffics. You know, we lock in pricing, and we're locking in pricing that's fair year-round, and we don't go back. We don't play the games of nickel and diamond. When quarter one comes around, we're going to go right back to Rico, the one-truck show or two-truck shows, and come down and expect you guys to drop your rates $300, $400, $500. You know, Chuck has done a tremendous job here. Traffics is a family-owned company, and customers and carriers, everybody's treated as one. They're all family here to us. And I think that's what gives us an advantage on a lot of other brokerages out there. So,
well said,
that's all I got.
Thank you. Can't argue with that. And we really do do our best. We have people like you, Mike, that are out there doing your best, and we've done an amazing job making sure we're a lot more contractual than transactional. I was just telling somebody today, I really don't like the transactional business, especially the one-offs that cost you more money to set up a customer than what you make moving the load, if it's just for one load. So you want to build relationships with your customers as well as your carriers. And we're just the conduit between the two. Because lately, and it's gotten more and more so, I was in a meeting today, and it's mind-boggling how much technology the large shippers, you know, the ones that are controlling a lot of freight, are expecting their 3PL providers to provide. It's a huge investment, and that's, they don't really, it's not just price, it's who has the best technology that can interface with theirs to make their jobs easier. And that's what this whole thing is becoming more and more every year. It's become more of a tech play, which is unfortunate, but it's the way it goes. And we allow our carriers, you know, that's part of their relationship with us, wouldn't you say? Is they're taking advantage, getting to take advantage of our investment in technology.
You know, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of talk. Listen, as a guy that's sitting in my house every night and getting to sleep in my bed, you know, people forget how hard of and tough of a job it is to be on the road, you know, 7 days a week, 21 times a month. It's a very difficult job, you know, and I feel for these guys, you know what I mean? And, you know, in the way we are in today, you know, there's shippers of choices and companies of choices. I mean, you know, nothing makes me madder than seeing a sign saying no drivers allowed to use our bathroom, even though this, the same consignee and same facility will hold a driver for 8 hours, not letting him leave to get offloaded. You know, it's those are things that we really, really do pay close attention to. But, you know, it's the nature of the beast. Walmart's not going anywhere. Target's not going anywhere. CNS, you know, some of these facilities that are sometimes very difficult to work with, they're also, they make up some of the largest percentage of retail business in the United States. So it's finding ways to work with these providers differently. And you know, Mike does a lot of power-only moves for Amazon, which is something that I've never really been a part of. And we found some carriers that, listen, for them they're happy because they have the tractors and they don't have to utilize their trailers, and they can utilize their trailers for other customers. So we're trying to do things differently, and we really do take a very methodical way when we do business with customers. We want to understand their business. We don't just want to come in, quote a load, and take it. That doesn't benefit anybody. And one load for a broker, whether you know anyone believes it or not, there's a cost for us as a service provider to go in, execute the first shipment, set up all the paperwork for the shipment to get billed out properly. It's very time-consuming and a cost if only one transaction is coming. No matter how much revenue you make on that, it doesn't make that one transaction profitable. So we go at things very differently. And I think our customer mix is we're not going after the Fortune 500. You know, the big – I came from a big brokerage house. I came from, you know, one of the largest. Scott came from a large shop, came from one of my biggest competitors. So we all came from large brokerages. And, you know, there – yeah, you know, there's, you have a lot of volume, but you're not offering prices that entices minor, smaller owner operators and smaller carriers to run. You can't run New Jersey to Illinois for 85 cents in this market, and there's rates that still exist out there like that.
But does that freight get moved?
Yeah.
At 85 cents.
You know, does
That's
it get
a
moved?
Big question.
Listen, I have a friend that called me this week, and I used to do a lot of business with him at CH, and they move, they call it baled plastic. Between us, it's trash. It's off the island, and it's going to a recycler in Illinois. Does it get moved? You know, it may take a day or two, but, you know, you get these backhaul, you know, you get some larger carriers that want to get backhaul to Illinois. Yeah, it's going to move.
Oops, somebody's got their speaker on.
So, yeah, you know, it does move. It just, it may take a couple of days for it to move.
Tell me, Scott, Jeremy, Mike, what are the things that carriers can do from their end to work tighter and develop relationships, whether they have one truck or 10 trucks with brokers? What, in your eyes, what do you want to see as a broker from carriers? What are the things that stand out when it happens? You go, whoa, we gotta develop, you know, we want to go steady with this guy. What are the things, guys? Scott,
so this is Mike talking.
You've been pretty quiet.
Oh, go ahead.
Scott?
I was good until Rico cut me off, but here you go. I'm just kidding. So, you know, I think one of the things that we've lost focus on, and it's something that everybody needs to continue to do, but those prospecting calls. You know, understanding, and when we first started at Traffix, you know, it was called an interview call, and understanding what is good for the carrier. And Mike hears this from me all the time, but you want to understand who the carrier's customers are, where they're going to, how often they're going. You know, Chuck, you said that you're going to have a truck in, Charlotte every Thursday. Now that's the type of stuff that we want to sell into. And if we can go out and sell into it, and I say it, and Jerry said it earlier, but we want to act as a sales arm off of our assets and our carrier partners, because the carrier partners don't have the know-how or the wherewithal to go out and contact and speak to some of the transportation managers and directors that we're speaking to on a daily basis. And this allows us to go in and sell their equipment on behalf of traffic. So understanding their business model, where they're going, where they want to go, you know, what type of money they're looking for. Can they drop trailers? You know, are there specific customers, that end users that they won't go to? You know, will they not go to BJ's? That type of stuff will help us be more successful and allow us to continue selling to capacity. And, you know, a lot of my business has always been drop trailer and, you know, consistent moves, and that's what we're trying to do. And I think that the more we continue to load some of those regional niche carrier bases that have anywhere from 25 to 50 trucks or 100 trucks, that's where we're going to get the best bang for the buck, because we've built some serious relationship with customers or carriers that only want to come to traffic, whether it's because of Mike or some of our other carrier members, but they want to deal with them specifically because, A, they trust them, and trust is everything, and, B, they know that we're going to have the freight and we're going to take care of them. And, you know, we're constantly working on ways to improve carrier payment and make sure that that's, you know, as fast as it possibly can be. But one of the other initiatives that we're working on right now is every carrier sends out a truck list. So we're basically creating bots to pull that information and put that into our operating system, where we can start to understand where these carriers are going on a regular basis and have automated emails and shortcuts that Jeremy created to send out to carriers saying, we have this load, or use or refer to our digital freight board so we can start loading your trucks, with making it easier to do business, because our environment that we operate in is not very easy. And the easier and the more repetitive it is, the better it's going to be.
You know, one of the things that Rico and I talk about consistently on this show, and we really try to steer our listeners away from it, is just chasing the spot market anywhere and everywhere, running wild, one or two or five truck carrier running 48 states. And what we're trying to hammer down to everybody is pick a lane. It doesn't matter whether it's Chicago to Minneapolis or Chicago to Memphis or Chicago to Charlotte, but just pick a place and go there, because it's too hard for brokers to work with a 48 state carrier that has one truck. It's just next to impossible. We, as brokers, we can't really sell for these guys. They'll catch the odd fly ball, but if we know that Gord runs between Chicago and Memphis, anytime any of our offices get a load from Chicago to Memphis or Memphis to Chicago, we will call that carrier. It's such an easy thing, but people don't want to make their lives easy. What's your take on it, guys? Do you agree?
I agree.
Mike?
Yes. I mean, it's finding what works for yourself personally, whether you have one truck or 3,000 trucks. Every price is different. I have guys that live in Mississippi that can run round trip for me at $1.60 and they're profitable. That's because of cost of living. It's figuring out what works and why it works. Do you want to make X amount of dollars per day? Do you want to get a certain rate per mile with Deadhead on all miles? Do you need to make X amount at the end of the week? It's all up to you. And every single driver that's listening, I want to thank you all, but you have to sit down and you have to decide what's best for you. That's the only way that you're going to keep going and going and going. If you're going to go all 48 states, can it happen? Yes. Have I ran owner operators before? I've ran them all over the country. I'm not going to get them on every single load, but I've probably paired up about 5 or 6 loads for them. But if you want to find the Chicago to Memphis or Chicago to Jersey, Chicago to Minneapolis, right? You got to figure out what works for you. But before you do that, do your homework on the customers on the inbound as well as outbound side. Because if you're just going to go Chicago, Memphis, why do you want to go there? You know, Memphis, that's a huge hub. Amazon, UPS, FedEx. There's a ton of customers that are building up in Memphis, Olive Branch. You know, we have Holly Springs, Mississippi.
Yeah.
We have Ekru, all the way down. So before you pick the city,
it's a great freight
city,
area.
Get a plan. It's a great freight area. So make sure
you pick
great freight areas.
One of our newest, largest customers, Rico, which I found very interesting, and this is this is our second month. We're going to do over 1,000 loads with them this month. They had a mentality for the past 8 years to never use brokerages, only asset. And what happened was is their commitment to their customers, they're a manufacturer, and they were losing their competitive advantage of delivering to their customers in a timely manner. Someone orders something, instead of getting it in 4 to 5 days, they were getting it in 35 to 40 days. And we, fortunately, someone came in that we knew, and they called us, and they said, I'm in a mess. You know, we have three of the largest national asset carriers here, and the trailers are loaded, but they're still in our yard, and they're sitting in our yard for a couple days. And, you know, they said, I want you to understand, though, that this company has never used brokerages. And we really got deep in a conversation to really understand why, you know, and it wasn't so much about, you know, capacity. It was more that it was kind of an old school company, and they felt that dealing direct with asset, they would have a better feel. But the one thing that I asked on this call, and it came surprise, you know, the vice president was a little surprised and a little taken back by when I said this. I said, okay, well, you're dealing with the Big Orange, right? We all know who Big Orange is.
Right.
How many times does Schneider actually pick up out of your facility? And the answer was not very much. They were brokering it. So the guy,
right,
you know, who said, I'll never use brokers, was using the brokerage division of a company that couldn't do it themselves on their assets. So, you know, for I've been doing this not as long as Chuck and yourself, but I've been doing this for about 18 years. And, you know, it took me a while to really understand the business aspect and to really understand what makes a brokerage matter in this business. And, you know, there's a lot of problems with carriers and drivers and issues in transit and claims and shifts and all this. And there's a lot of problems on the customer side. I mean, you know, with production issues or canceling loads. And you know, again, going back to what I said earlier, the asset companies are extremely valuable in moving the freight. And the customers are very good in shipping the freight. But together, they don't mingle well together because of the issues. And that's where we come in and provide a value to all parties.
So, guys, we got a caller that has a question. I'm going to try to get them mixed in really quickly. And then I got a question. I got a question where it pertains to an opportunity that may be able to be had with the the recovery of this COVID process with the vaccines that may be coming out. And I'll tell you where I'm going after we talk to the caller. So, caller from 912 area code, what's your name and how can we help?
Hey, this is Steve from Georgia, and I'll tell you, I'm really enjoying the conversation on tonight because everything that you guys are saying about building relationship with carriers and I don't call them brokers, but I say customers is spot on and is 100%. I've been in business going on 5 years now, and out of the 5 years that I've been in business, I only I only signed up with like 27 brokers, and I narrowed that down to, you know, my main brokers that I use. And for the last year and a half, I've only been using like three brokers, three customers, you know, since that time. And it's really been working out well for me because to kind of let you know, I'm averaging all miles $2.33 a mile, and then out of my expense, I'm bringing home 92 cents a mile. So It's that relationship, and I put that on having a great relationship with the broker that I'm dealing with. But I wanted to run something by you guys. And I'm maybe it's been going on, but I'm just now really noticing now. With dealing with the guy that I deal with on everyday basis, that they got to the point now to where they are starting. Well, they are bidding on loads, and it's like they wait until they wait till they get certain bids on lanes or getting certain bids on loads, and then they just pick through and try to find the lowest bidder in the area instead of just pricing the load, for whatever it moved for. And the broker that I deal with, he kind of try to stay away from that. And by him being on the other end of the spectrum, he's able to see, the highest paying, the lowest paying, and kind of in the middle, And he basically go from there. And he, he does a wonderful job at getting me the rate, rate that I'm looking for. Tell you for instance, I'm in the Panhandles of Florida, coming out of the Panhandles of Florida. Got a $4.03 a mile load because another broker he needed it moved. He couldn't. Everybody fell out on him, and he was able to go in and negotiate for me on my behalf, and I was able to get that load. And so that's why I'm able to to get the mileage that I have. That I'm working on, but the question I'm asking is that are you guys seeing that more of where everybody puts in bids on a load and then just before pickup time they go with the lowest one and to try to pick up that load, or how do you guys see in that?
No.
What was your first name? Yeah, go ahead. What was the gentleman's first name? Because I got a good answer for
that's
him.
That's Steve.
Steve, thank you.
His name is Steve.
So, Steve, let me ask you a question. Are you a gamble? Are you a gambling man?
Every now and then, if I'm feeling lucky, I'll gamble.
I'm the same way, but that's what you're talking about there is there's people that gamble, right? So we're in the same boat. Shippers have changed the way that they procure capacity in this day and age. So there's really two folds. There's guys that'll there's contractual business that obviously we're willing to serve. We have a price set. We have that. And then there's the other guy. I move a load out of Atlanta every single Friday, and I know the load's coming, but they wait till the end of the day. Now, I'm smart, so I lock that capacity in early knowing that it's going to happen. And 99.9% of the time it does. But there are a lot of companies, especially in Chicago, that'll sit, and they won't even post their trucks and start looking for trucks until 5 o'clock. Now, in this market, 9 times out of 10, they're going to get a load for $7 a mile because someone's in a bind and they have to execute the shipment. But we don't want to play that game. We want to give you a fair price that's going to get it going and let you know, let your driver know or let your company know and put you to ease that you have a load covered. But there's guys, especially, in this day and age, they'll shop till they find a deal that makes them a little bit more than they thought they could make. And it's a gamble every single day. But going back to what we talked about earlier, those guys are not relationship-based. And when the markets crash, those are the first guys that are calling, begging for opportunities. And we're like, dude, you offered me $13 a mile in a lane that's going for $3 a mile. And you told me to take the offer or hang up, So it happens a lot. It does happen a lot more. But we really try to veer away from that. And what I tell my team Mike's team is if we're going to take a load – spot same day, we better have a truck in mind or we're going to make a few calls to get it covered, not waste. It doesn't make us money if we're calling out a load for 4 hours and covering it. I have 1,000 loads I have to move a day. So if I'm spending 4 hours to cover one load, that's not profitable no matter what the GP is on that load.
I got you because, one of the things is that the broker that I use, he's part of the big brokerage house, in the world. And he tells me a lot of time that other brokers call to try to get something covered at the last minute. And so, you know, and he was the one that was feeding me this information that a lot of them wait to try to pick the lowest one, and then when it fall out, it's almost like they have to put money with the low just to get it moved. And
correct.
And I was just wondering, did you guys see any of this going on?
Yeah, going on for
every day. Today we saw about 790 opportunities. You know, Jeremy brought up, it's called spot freight. So what it is just shippers try and push onto the contractual carriers, the large guys, small guys, brokers, whatever. And they're going to try and hold them accountable to take this load until the person washes their hands clean and says, I can't do it. And then what they do is they go and reach out to their relationships. So Jeremy, I know who your customer is from Georgia. He's going to reach out to Jeremy and he's going to say, Jeremy, they did it to me again. Can you help me? And then that's when it turns into a, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm not really a truck in hand kind of person. You know, whatever the freight comes across my board, I'm just going to spot it at what I think it needs to go at that minute. And the rule of thumb, like Jeremy stated, it's 2 to 3 calls. If you are putting a same day load on our board, that load has to be covered in 2 to 3 calls tops, because we have our commitments to our customers that are giving us freight year round that we also need to capitalize on and make sure we're servicing them as well.
The amount of freight that gets pushed out same day would blow your mind by you being as trucking companies, and that's the misconception of what a brokerage is. They're like, oh well, you know, they're bidding high and then you're paying low. No, we're bidding at what the market is because we still have to win it. I mean,
right.
I'm on a spot board. There was probably 400 loads they were trying to push out in addition to the 1,700 loads they already moved today, right? And now what they're trying to do is they're trying to get out more, 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 especially because of, you know, especially right now. Now, you know, some places are going back in. They're going back up a tier in COVID. So now a lot of places are starting to shut down again. So people are trying to push out as much freight as possible, knowing that retail stores are not going to look the same in the upcoming holiday season, and that they got to, you know, Amazon's buying more than they've ever bought. And all these retailers are trying to feed their DCs, and there's a lot more pool distribution. You know, U.S. mail can't even handle it. So instead of they're doing zone skipping for delivery. So all this is happening, which puts a constraint on the normal capacity that shippers are used to, which then makes more on the spot freight. And, you know, I you sound like a gentleman that I would love to work with. I would love for you to take down our number at the end of the call and at least give us an opportunity to show you that, you know, we practice what we preach. But what we do differently is we're not looking to make that quick dollar. We have to service our customers and offer them a price that's competitive that's going to allow us to win. Because if I go in and quote a ridiculous number, there's 30 brokers that will undercut me, right? And probably the broker that you're dealing with. So I got to go in and quote, and it's a science. You have to be good at this. You have to understand in that exact point of time what the market price is and put enough on it to know that you're going to cover it to make money. And let me tell you this. There are a lot of times we lose that bet, but there's a lot of times that we win. At the end of the month, we're usually in the black, and that's all that matters. But we service the business. We don't give loads back. If I'm taking a load at 3 o'clock and they close at 4, I better have a truck in hand.
So exactly what Jeremy just said about how we have our commitment is to quote and get the win and move the freight. That's the toughest thing. And like when you see the market changing every single day in specific areas, us adapting, and then sometimes customers, you bid on a load and you don't schedule that load for 2 weeks. So the rate can change significantly, and there's no going back to the customer and saying, hey, you know what, you can't take this load for another 2 weeks. Well, now it's shipping over Thanksgiving, so I'm going to have to hold it for another day. Guess what? You're SOL. And a lot of carriers and trucking companies don't necessarily understand that. And, you know, the word you mentioned, the word customer, that's the way we want to be perceived by our carriers, as a customer and not a broker. I hate saying the B word. You know, I prefer to say a 3PL or a 4PL. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're a customer, and you, as a truck driver or a carrier, are relying on us. So we're betting on that every single load. And when Jeremy said, are you a gambling man, every day, whether it's 25 to 100 to 150 loads that we're quoting on the spot market or for a specific customer, we're gambling. We're gambling with Chuck's money. we're trying to do our best we can, but you never know what's going to happen.
We have two gambles. Sir. You know, we have the one gamble. We have the one gamble that we're going to get it moved, and actually there's
right.
three. The other gamble is that we're going to make money. Okay, on a profitable on it. We're going to be on the right side of the equation. And the third gamble finally is getting paid from the customer, because you know in
yeah.
this economy there's been you know there. Been some surprises out there with companies that have gone under that nobody would have ever expected. So, you know, this business is really gambling just like any other business.
It's also about the slow payment terms. Maybe the company's still in business, but I have some electronic customers that moved out their payment terms to 120 days and they want a 3%
yes.
discount off the line haul. I mean, there's a lot of companies that have been proactive and saying, you know, we need a discount because of this, and if you want this freight, that's the rules of engagement to move forward. So with that, you got to hopefully up your quote to make sure you're covering that additional 5% or whatever that number is that you have to pay back.
Yeah,
well,
not,
I will say this. I will say that I tip my hat off to you guys, because that's another world that really, really take good planning and planning to do is the brokerage world. And I appreciate you guys for taking my call in that area there.
Thank you
for calling in,
Steve. Let me tell you that.
Thank you for calling in.
Everyone's job is hard. Everyone's job's hard in this day and age. Everyone's got a very difficult job, but. You know, Mike Schaub is online at 4:30 a.m. and it's 7 o'clock and he's still working. I mean, that's the dedication that we are, and you know, that's what it takes to move freight in this type of environment.
You know, it's funny, guys. I was just thinking tonight how much this industry has changed since I was first introduced to it originally, way back 46 years ago. You know, at the Jersey truck stop over in Kearney, New Jersey, just over the bridge from New York City. I remember there was this sleazy truck stop with rats the size of German Shepherds, and there were these trailers, and every trailer, like mobile homes, and they had brokers in them. And that's what brokers were, other than CH and a couple of, and Alan Lund had just opened at that point. There weren't a lot, and there was a guy in California, 724, and there were only a handful of them. And to watch how this industry has evolved in just over 40 years. It's tremendous. It really is.
Looks like we got another caller that's got a question. Let me try to grab them real quickly before. So caller from area code 704.
Hey,
Carolina.
Yeah, hey, this is Jim, Rico, and Chuck in Charlotte.
Hey, Jim.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Jim.
Say, well, I hauled, Mr. Chuck, I hauled my first load under your traffic. Like, I had not emailed you, so I successfully dropped that off today in Kansas City. But, yeah, thank you. I got to tell you, I can always tell who's good at what they do by, you know, your company has the online setup, you know, I think you were RMIS, if I remember right. But that's always,
right.
to me, a sign of good. You know, I can't believe how many brokers still want you to print off 20 pages of junk that we never read, initial it, and send it back. You know, it's completely obsolete, so it's a good sign for your company. And I can tell by the rate negotiation that you're kind of, I think, what you've advertised, where you're fair. You're not going to get rich. I'm not going to get $4 out of your company. I try. But, you know, I think I ended up getting about $2 from Charlotte to Kansas City because I'm getting three. I knew I could get three coming back. You know, you don't get great money out of Charlotte,
right.
but you get two. I'm getting $3 under, who is it? ArcBest, they pay good, you know. So anyway, I mean, I can tell your company's at the top of what you do just by a few things like that. You can tell by the rate and by the setup process and all that, just how, and I think you integrate, when I set up with you, I had to link to Big Road. So I did that on the online where I guess you're able to track me with I forgot if it's Project 44, one of those.
Right.
There's so many, I forget who uses what, but I can. So anyway, but my question tonight is, out of Charlotte, I'm always, you know, there's a lot of companies in Charlotte where somebody on here earlier said, look, if you have one truck and you want to go, say, from Charlotte to Jacksonville, Florida, which I would love to do regularly, they're not going to really talk to you. And I don't, I know that some of the online people, the, you know, the tech companies like Convoy are trying, I think Convoy is not doing really well at what they first started out. I don't think that they're disrupting anything. But they are attempting, it looks to me, but what they're doing, though, it looks like, is they're attempting to sell their system directly to customers. And I just was wondering whether your company or any big brokerage, I mean, I'm wondering where this is going, where it seems to me like as a carrier, with I'm a one-truck carrier, and that's all I want. I don't want to grow at all. I just like simplicity. But say a company like Charlotte Pipe and Foundry, which is close to us, has 10 loads a week to Jacksonville, and I can only cover two of them. Well, it seems like either a brokerage or them is eventually going to say, look, we don't need an asset-based carrier that has all these. We can find, through technology, we can find 10 different single truck companies where Jim says he'll do one or two a week and lock in a 6-month rate. Is it going that way at all, or is it still far away from that?
They don't want to do that. What these shippers are wanting to do is they're wanting to make one phone call. It makes life so easy. Imagine if you were going to order a pizza and you had to call one place for the box, and then you had to call another place for the crust, and a third place for the cheese. You're going to go, what the heck? Why didn't somebody just put the damn thing into a box and put some pepperoni and mushroom on it? I'll pay a little extra.
I hear you.
And it's the same thing because they've got a huge cost themselves when driver number or owner operator number 7 doesn't show up for his load. All of a sudden, there's a customer in Jacksonville not going to get it. So they just rather phone up Traffix or CH or whoever. Now, the big issue with the digital brokerage houses, they haven't taken the market. Like a storm, like they thought they would. None of them have.
Right.
They're all trying to sell the platforms because at the end of the day, this is still and big business. Goddamn it! Pardon my language. They've really tried to take the human relationship out of the equation for moving logistics. At the end of the day, still a relationship business. Somebody wants to know who they're dealing with. Maybe it's not that important to them to know that it's Jim that's driving the truck. But they want to know that at the other end of that phone is a face, and that face knows who's driving the truck. He's done the vetting for them, not some computer. And that's the big difference. When that shipment doesn't show and the traffic manager says, says to his underling, who's moving this load? And he said, well, I gave it to Uber. You what? 3 o'clock in the morning, and we don't have any supplies. Uber, I'm going to kill you. So that's the issue. People want to be able to pick up the phone and call one of us at 4 o'clock in the morning and vent and say, where the hell is that truck? And I want to call my vice president Glenn and say, where the hell is that truck? And Glenn makes the call to the driver, and driver's backed in the dock, and he's been there for 2 hours, and that's what real life is about. And Uber and Convoy and the rest of them aren't going to do that.
Well, it seems like, I'm not speaking, I don't have anything good or bad to say about J.B. Hunt. They're seeming like they're trying to have both of those sides, where they're, with their 360, they're really trying to push that. And I respect them a lot. I will say, I do a lot of their loads.
Great company.
I can get a pretty good rate. Yeah, I would agree with you. But let me ask you this real quick. In-house then, say Charlotte Pipe and Foundry, say you get a contract with them where they have 10 loads to Jacksonville. Is there any chance that in the future you'll say, instead of trying to cover that kind of on the spot market where you would say, hey, I've got two loads Monday, two loads every day of the week, Monday through Friday, I would love to see brokerages put it out as more of a contract. I would think it would be a win-win. Like, I want the Monday and Wednesday one, and I'll do it for, you know, $2 a mile.
Sure.
You know, but I'm not seeing anybody doing it. That's I'll leave
we
it
do
aside.
It all the time. That makes, you know what? We do that all the time.
Okay, I'm just not seeing it.
If we have 10 loads a week and we know you're going to cover two, that only means
right.
that we have to cover eight more.
Exactly.
You're making our job easier. And
okay.
If we know,
yeah.
if we know
okay.
you're going to cover Mondays and Wednesdays, now we just have to find trucks for the others.
Okay.
Good deal
well,
for
I've
everybody.
Never had any. I just have never had any brokers or I just haven't had anybody offer that kind of deal. But maybe I'm not looking
have you
in
ever
the right
run,
places.
Do you always
well, the good
run
thing about,
from Charlotte
sorry.
To Kansas City?
Yeah, that's what I just did for under, with your company. Yes, exactly.
I know, but
that's
is that where you run? Do you strictly
oh,
run
no,
from Charlotte
no,
to Kansas?
No, I do what one of you guys said not to. I find, like, wherever it's $3 a mile, I'm going out there. Merrick, because right now
that's
Kansas
where,
City is $3, and that's why I'm there, because it's $3 coming out right now.
Yeah, well, wait till around Christmas time, and it'll be half that. So
I know. I'm aware.
Business. It's totally transactional.
Right.
We're also going to share Mike Schaub's my email, phone number, and Scott Sears. You can find Scott Sears in most women and men's bathroom phone numbers written on the walls, but we'll give his phone number out also. So at the end of the call, we encourage all of you to email, call us. We're always looking for partners that want to work with us. We have a lot of projects out of the Charlotte area. We run Charlotte to Jacksonville, Jacksonville back to Charlotte. So if that's something that you're interested in, we have a lot of customers out in Kansas City. So please reach out to us and let's talk about not just one off, but putting you on some consistency.
Well, we can easily load you on
the
Charlotte
while,
to Jacksonville.
While we're talking about it, well, let's go ahead because we're at that point in the show. So if you guys, we got about 3 minutes left, and we want to try to squeeze everybody's contact and information in and everything like that. So if you guys want to, go ahead and set it off, the floor is yours.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
So you can reach Jeremy Schlockett at 847-530-6158. You can also email Mike Schaub at M, as in Mary, Schaub, S-H-A-U-B, at traffics.com. That's M-S-H-A-U-B at traffics.com. And I'm going to give everyone Michael Schaub's cell phone. It's 815-931-4530. 815-931-4530. Give him a call, except for the hours of 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. That's when he goes to sleep. Other than that, he's awake, ready to rock and roll.
And my cell phone is 216-338-5696. And, you know, I just want to give a big shout-out to Jeremy because, you know, he's really working hard and he actually asked his mom, Belinda, to be on the call tonight, so she's listening in. So he's trying to do her proud and continuing to make everybody
my
laugh.
My mom is on the call tonight.
She said you should be proud.
For 18 years, she texted me and said, I still don't understand what you do, and it's been 18 years that I've been in the business.
No, I think
well,
you understand
Rico,
what you do, which is important.
I hope so. Well, Rico, Chuck, all the drivers out there, thank you so much for having us on. It means the world to
guys,
us.
Thank you so much.
And thank you so much for all the support and being on the road. Rico, thank you for having us on again.
Thanks for taking time
on,
out of the schedule to come on and hang out with us. Chuck, you want to put it out there? And we'll baby and get up out of here.
Okay. You can reach me at chuck@traffix.com. And you can call me at extension 203, and the phone number is 800-388-4352, or send me a private message on Instagram at Chuck Snow CEO. CEO. Thanks, Rico.
All right.
Have
well,
a good week.
We want to thank you guys, the listeners, the callers. We want to thank you guys for taking time out of your schedule to download, listen, whether you listen live or whether you listen on a download. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you took a little bit of time to hang out with us, and we definitely appreciate it. So with that being said, I think next week we're going to have our transportation attorney check back in with us. Not 100% sure just yet, but regardless, we'll see you guys same time, same place next week. Be safe out there, everybody. God bless you. Good night. Keep it in between the mustard and the mayonnaise, and we'll talk at you next week.
Catch you on the flip-flop.
Thank you.